5 through 47. Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We are so excited, as we are every Tuesday, to join you. Have you join us from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Would you now join us with devotion? Today's devotion will be led by Mark Bryant. The scripture will be read by Eric Jefferson, 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47, and 1 Samuel 18, 5 through 12, and we'll have prayer by Dr. James Smith.
Good evening. To God be the glory. We thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us at Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the Word is explained. This evening we'll be singing just those words, "To God be the glory." How can I say thanks for all the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and hope to be, I would all to thee. To God be the glory. To God the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live. Live my life and let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood, He has saved me, and with His power, He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
Amen.
Amen.
Tonight's reading will be 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47, and 1 Samuel 18, 5 through 12. This is a New Living Translation. David shouted in reply, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give your and I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone will know that the Lord does not need weapons to rescue his people. It is his battle, not ours. The Lord will give you to us." 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 5 through 12. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander in his army and appointed him an appointment that was applauded by the fighting men and officers alike. But something happened when the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed Goliath. Women came out from all the towns along the way to celebrate and to cheer for King Saul. And they sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song: "Saul has killed his thousand, and David his 10,000. This made Saul very angry. "What is this?" he said. "They credit David with 10,000, and me with only 1,000. Next, they'll be making him their king." So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The very next day, in fact, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave like a madman. David began to play the harp as he did whenever this happened, but Saul, who had a spear in his hand, suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David jumped aside and escaped. This happened another time, too. But Saul was afraid of him, and he was jealous because the Lord had left him and was now with David. I have read for you 1 Samuel verses 17. I'm sorry, chapter 17 verses 45 through 47, and 1 Samuel chapter 18 verses 5 through 12. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and doing of His word.
Amen. Amen. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word and gain a better understanding of how much you love us and how much you care about us and see to our needs and redeem us when we mess up. God bless those that will participate and bless our leader, Dr. Susie. Help us, God, to help each other and to love each other and ourselves as you love us. God, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your people. Help us to learn from your word and from each other and from your spirit. We need you tonight and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for such an awesome devotion. This month is a very special month. It's the month that I'm teaching. The month of June. Where we're looking at the question, can God redeem your story? And when we look at the word redemption, redemption is defined as the act of saving or being saved from sin, being saved from some error, being saved from evil. It's God's plan of regaining back that which was lost. So that's the different context in which we're looking at the word redemption. So can God redeem your story? And if God can or will redeem my story is the question that some have asked. But we hope that you get an answer for that when we're finished. And as I was dealing with this section throughout this week, some of the applications that came to me was a young woman who recently lost her one-year-old child. And right now she's not sure if God can or will redeem her story. A young man came to me asking for prayer because his baby mama's boyfriend put his little girl in the hospital. And he's trying to figure out, you know, how can God keep him in the midst of this. A loved one recently lost both of her parents and within 6 weeks. And after burying both of them, discovered that she has a diagnosis of cancer. Can God, will God redeem their story? And the process of looking at this, we're trying to figure out, do we have a story today? Do each of us have a story today of how God is in the process of preparing us for redemption? Is God in the midst of redeeming us? Or are you just now going through the process of being redeemed and you're shouting and having a testimony? So what we've been doing this month is we've just kind of whetted your taste as we've looked at God's word and saw how God revealed through human story, as in the story of David, as in the story of Joseph that we dealt with the first week. And then we dealt with the story of the woman at the well. And tonight we're going to deal with the story of David. So no matter what you're going through, the answer is you will get through this. It won't be quick, and it won't be painless, but God will use the mess, the situation, the challenge for your ultimate good. And so far tonight, we're going to glance and look at just a tad bit about David's life. So as you've heard read in the devotion, we're going to begin with 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, the 45th through the 47th verse, the 18th chapter, looking at the 5th through the 12th verse of 1 Samuel. So those of you who are on the line and in the studio, feel free to pull those texts up. Now, to get started, for those of you who are interested in speaking out, let me get a roll call so I can make sure I have everybody on the line tonight. Can I get a roll call?
This is Eric.
This is James.
Okay.
This is Mark.
Anybody else want to be a part of the discussion? All right. We have other people in the studio, but at this time, nobody else wants to dialogue. So we'll see who comes in and shares with us later on this evening. So, Brother Nick, can you give us a recount of David's life? Because that's what we want to look at tonight. We want to look at David's story and to see how God redeemed him.
Yeah, we can start with his early childhood life and up to the time of Goliath and then being a servant of Saul. David, of course, was the youngest of Jesse's children, and Samuel came to anoint the king, the next king of Israel, when Saul had disobeyed God and the spirit left Saul, and Samuel went to anoint the next king, which was David. And once David was anointed and he was out in the field, and they had to call him in. So he was very young when he was anointed king. And shortly after that time period, the Israelites were engaged in a battle with the Philistines, and Goliath was there, and Goliath was taunting the Israelites, and nobody would go out and face Goliath. And of course, David comes and brings food to his brothers, three brothers who are fighting with the Israelites, and says, you know, that who is he to defy the Israelites and the God of the Israelites? And David says that he will go out and face Goliath. Saul tries to give him armor. It's too big. He doesn't want it on. So he goes out, and we know the story of David using a sling and striking Goliath in the head and killing him, cutting off his head. And then David was given an appointment by Saul, and people sang praises of Saul killing his thousands and David killing his 10,000s. David was still a young man at that time, very young, and Saul became jealous of him. And David also would go and play a harp for Saul. It's thought that Saul was had some problem, mental illness, or maybe he couldn't rest, so he needed something to help calm him down, and David would play the harp. And on one occasion when David was playing the harp, Saul threw a spear at him and tried to kill him. And that became the story of David for a long time. Saul tried to kill him, and we find that Jonathan and Michael, two of Saul's children, actually helped David escape from Saul many times. So, Dr. Zuzi, I think maybe I'll stop there, and then maybe we'll talk about the other part of David's life, unless you want me to continue on and talk about Bathsheba.
No, that's perfectly fine. And but what I want everybody to look at, you know, that's a pretty familiar story. And so that's why we picked a specific text. But as you hear that story, as you look at that story, where do you see God working in David's life? At what point in time? Anybody? Where does God begin working in David's life?
Well, this is Eric. From my perspective, he starts working even before we get to that point, because we know that David used to be the shepherd of his father's flock. And later on in the story, we hear of him telling of how he killed, you know, a bear and lions out in the field who were trying to take the prey. And the fact that Samuel comes there to anoint him specifically, even though Samuel wasn't even sure what child he was going to anoint as the next king when the spirit left Saul and God told him to go to Jesse's house and anoint his son. At that point, the Lord didn't tell him which son, because if you remember, Samuel thought it surely was the first son because of the way that he looked. And the Lord said, no, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the inward appearance. And so that statement to me says that God was working in David's life very, very early.
So would you say, go ahead, Jay.
I was just going to say, and as far as redeeming David, I mean, he delivered David from Goliath, this 9 foot tall giant, and David was a little boy, at least a young man at this time when he would go to face Goliath, and then he also delivered him from Saul with his crazy outbursts and trying to kill him. So God was in the process of redeeming David many times, but what was important was that David says, I come, you know, with God. So Goliath has his spears and all this kind of weapon, and David only comes with God. And so God was with David. So I think that was significant in the story of Goliath, in David's early life.
So what we have here, Dr. Ness and Brother Eric and those of you on the line, what we have here is we're looking at David's story, and Brother Eric was saying that it began way back when David was young. So what happens when we're young? What does God do? Does God start? And this is the question. Was God training David on the bear in the lion?
This is Eric again. I think he was. And I think that God is training all of us. And I'm going to go way out on this limb here, but this is Eric personally. I think that when we come into this world, God is training us, but it's up to us to let God lead. And I think David let God lead. And I'm not so sure that we today do that, because we want to have control of our destiny. Because as Dr. Nook said, when he went out there, he said, I'm going with the Lord. I'm taking the Lord. So he had this process that he knew that's who had been keeping him and looking after him. And I'm not so sure that we have that, to say that when we face something, that we say we're going into that battle with the Lord.
Go ahead, Mark. This is Mark. I had a question, and as I've heard the reading, and the story of David, I even go a little bit back where Dr. Susie was talking about so many real concerns and situations that have happened to people, a child dying, a child being hurt by a stepfather, things that are very, very real in one's life. And Dr. Susie asked the question about will these people be redeemed? Am I correct about that? Or will they asked the question, will I be redeemed? And I guess as I'm thinking of that, I don't know if they're asking the right question. And the reason I say that is we all are redeemed. We've been bought by a price. And that redemption speaks to our eternal life. It speaks to, you know, any guilt or shame or things that have happened in our life in regard to sin, that God has come and redeemed us by his blood. I don't know if it necessarily deals with a condition or a situation that happens in our life, because God has come to reconcile us, everyone, unto himself. And so I guess that's my question.
That's why I began the Bible study, Brother Mark. Thank you so much. With the definition of what I meant by redemption, there are more than one way in which you can look at redemption besides salvation from sin. There's salvation from mistakes we can make. There's salvation or regaining, or how God clears a debt for us. There are different ways in which we can use the word redemption. And what I was saying to you is that, can God redeem our story? And we looked at different people throughout this month that have a story. And in this case that we're dealing with tonight, David has a story. David is being prepared. David is being trained from the beginning as a young child to be able to handle a situation with a lion and a bear. And it's based on his trust and faith that he has in God. And he's so strong in his faith that God uses him to walk into a situation and to stand and say, how dare this Philistine defy the army of the Lord? And then says, I'm not going to go in with a javelin and a spear and with armor. I'm going with the Most High God. And he takes that experience that he's learned, that training that he has had, that manifestation of a walk with God in relationship, and takes it as his armor and walks in with his breastplate of righteousness, his helmet of salvation. He's all dressed, prepared, and ready, and slays the giant. And then he goes on to take that knowledge, that experience, to work as in Saul's army and use that training to win other victories. And so God is in the process of redeeming his story even, and the stories of others around him as an influence of who God is. And people never forgot the magnificent display of what happened through David, showing the display of God. And so David was able to show that God redeemed his people that day through David. That's how I'm using that term. And that's the context of the studies for this month. So as we look further on, we want to ask other questions about not only does God redeem David's story, but as in the people that I was telling you about the man who whose daughter was beat up by his ex-girlfriend's boyfriend, and he's asking God to hold him and keep him to redeem his story. I'm talking about the person who lost their mother and father and found out they got cancer. What does God do for those people who are struggling with the situation, the dilemmas that God needs to redeem them from? Can God redeem their story as well? Can God redeem your story? If you've been struggling with a job, can God redeem? Can God come through for you? And I said, we'll get through this. It won't be quick, and it won't be painless. It ain't going to be easy. But we will get through this, as God is showing us through the text that God redeems God's people. And tonight's example is that of David. Does anybody else see any other areas in which God redeems?
Well,
go ahead.
This is Eric, and what I want to say that, Dr. Fuda, I mean, you're absolutely correct. But let's look for just a moment. We know that God can redeem anybody's story because God is God. God can redeem anybody's story. But God wants to know that you want him to redeem his story from my perspective. And I think what happens in that point is that when you talk of those instances that you just mentioned, is that what is their relationship with God? Because it appears to me, without a doubt, when I read my Bible, that God gets into intimate discussions and relationships with people when they're off in a desert place, when they're off by themselves, when he can really commune and get their attention. And I don't know that, you know, and I don't know that in our society today we take that time to find that time to carve out to be with God, because there's so much going on. I was listening to a radio station today, and the guy was just talking about some general stuff, and he said, you know, experts are now saying that people should disengage from Facebook on their mobile phone and disengage from Twitter and all this because of all the negative stuff that's coming in, and they get up in the morning and they start with that, and it sets the tone for their day. And everything is all whacked out by the time they even start their day. And I think about that, and you know, I mean, anybody that's been on this call for any length of time know that I start my day with an hour of reading and prayer and devotion. I mean, that's how I start my day. I don't leave the house till I do that. And I noticed when I started doing that, which was years ago, my whole attitude changed when I walked out my door. The people that was driving crazy didn't seem to bother me no more. Now the prayer is, Lord, let us all get to where we're trying to get to safely.
Come on.
Instead of, you know, trying to shoot somebody and split somebody off and cut somebody off, because I wasn't above that. But now it's, you know, can we all get to where we're trying to get to safely? And so we know that God can redeem anybody's story. But I think God wants
us not just that,
to
Brother
have
Eric,
that relationship.
It's not just if. It's do the individuals believe it? Do they understand that God is training them
to
trust God all along
yes.
the way? This is a training process that we have to believe. See, it's one thing to say, yeah, I know God, you know, because we read it, says that God will redeem us, but do we believe it for ourselves? Do we trust God? I mean, it's just like the children of Israel went through Egypt through with God leading, guiding them by a cloud and by fire. But did they trust him? They started grumbling the moment they got to the Kadesh Barnea. God was going to take them over. But again, do you really trust God? And that's what this is about, to look at that relationship that God is trying to develop in us of trust, to say, no matter what you're going through, I'm going to help you get there. I'm going to get you through. Do we believe it?
This is Mark. One of the things that I fight with in our conversation is that there are situations that we will never know what God has for us. We will go to our grave not knowing the answer of why our child died, why this happened, why that happened. Yet still, God's promises are true. is they are yea and amen. I truly do believe that God can redeem anyone's story. I do believe, even as we use the word redemption, just as people talk about redemption of money, I can promise you a dollar, and my promises are hold true, and I can make a down payment of paying you a quarter. I'm walking in my promise to redeem that dollar because I've made a down payment. God made a full payment based on his blood and based on his grace and mercy that he gives us each and every day and the relationship that he gives us, that he is with us. And the fight that I have is that probably what most people have. I believe in God. I have faith in him. I believe he, as I speak, as I walk, as I talk, that which he said he will do will come to pass, but there will be times where I can't see, I can't feel, I don't know, and I may not ever understand why situations happen. And so I'm in this situation or a situation that happens, and I want that redemption. I believe God can give me that redemption, but I don't have the answer. Can you speak to that?
Are you seeing this struggle as a test? Huh?
Dr. Before you ask that question, may I please
Go ahead.
Okay. Mark and everybody out there listening, this is what I can tell you from this is Eric's perspective in my own walk and fellowship. Is that God is saying, you don't need to know. All you need to know is that I'm able. Do you trust and believe that I will take care of whatever it is? Even if it's the loss of a loved one, I can fill that void. I am able. I am God. I don't make mistakes. I know exactly what I'm doing. What I need to know is that do you trust and believe? That's all God is asking us for. God created mankind because he wanted someone to have a relationship with him that wanted to have it based on mutual trust. Not that he could dictate. He made the angels. They're made for a specific purpose and reason. But mankind has the will to do and choose whatever he wants to. And what God really wants for mankind is that, do you trust and believe? You don't have to know the reason.
Amen.
You just
so my question to you all related to that is, do you think sometimes that trust is tested? Do you get tested so that you can have a testimony?
I think that trust is always tested. God, you know, does give you a test, so you do have a testimony. There are circumstances that happen that place you in circumstances to make you even stronger, to have a deeper relationship with him, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if it was not for God placing his extraordinary on our ordinary, that the solution wouldn't happen, the bills wouldn't be paid, the cancer would not have been taken from the body. You know, things would not have happened the way they would have happened because we would have thought that it was because of our intelligence or our know-how or our abilities versus God's blessing, his grace, his mercy upon us.
Yeah, Dr. Susie, let me read, and most of y'all have heard this, and I'm not going to read all of it, but remember when the Israelites left they crossed the Red Sea and they was headed through the desert and they came to the well where the water was bitter and then Moses threw the bark and Mara.
Right.
And Moses threw in the bark and made the water sweet. So this is so the Lord wanted to teach them that each experience on their journey would reveal their hearts. This test showed that they were living by sight and not by faith. They also learned that God was involved in their daily affairs. He wanted them to know that he not only could part the sea, but would supply water for his people. He knew their needs because he planned their way. He knew their needs because he planned their way.
Now, this is the deal where this is where the rubber meets the road, right here. And it's when we walk daily, and you know, Brother Eric, I'm going to pick on you, because when we look at David, as a young boy, was full of energy and passion and trust. We saw how he was training him, developing him, raising him up, so that when he met his tests, Goliath, the bear, the lion, he had a testimony, and he used it as the next go-around. Every time he got ready to do something, he used a testimony about what happened before then to get him to the next place. Okay? But I think what we forget to realize is David was young, right? And David was excited about the Lord because the Lord was with him. Now, when we go to the next section, Brother Nooks, would you please, because we don't have that much time left, would you read the next section of, it is 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 15. And I want us to look at what happens to David as he gets older. What's the difference here? And I know that we can study, and I know that we can stay, be in relationship with God, but let's look and see what happens when we get older. And some things that may happen to change or alter the story. Go ahead, Dr. Nooks, would you read 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 15, or whoever may have that.
The Lord sent the prophet Nathan to David. When Nathan came to him, he said, two men lived in the same town. One was rich, the other was poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but all the poor man had was one little female lamb. He had brought it. He raised it. It grew up with him and his children. It shared his food. It drank from his cup. It even slept in his arms. It was just like a daughter to him. One day a traveler came to the rich man. The rich man wanted to prepare a meal for him, but he didn't want to kill one of his own sheep or cattle. Instead, he took the little female lamb that belonged to the poor man. Then he cooked it for the traveler who had come to him. David burned with anger against the rich man. He said to Nathan, the man who did this is worthy of death, and that's just as sure as the Lord is alive. The man must pay back four times as much as that lamb was worth. How can he do such a thing? And he wasn't even sorry he had done it. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king over Israel. I saved you from Saul's powerful hand. I gave you everything that belonged to your master Saul. I even put his wives into your arms. I made you king over the people of Israel and Judah. And if all that had not been enough for you, I would have given you even more. Why did you turn your back on what I told you to do? You did what is evil in my sight. You made sure that Uriah the Hittite would be killed in battle. You took his wife to be your own. You let the men of Ammon kill him with their swords. So time after time, members of your own royal house will be killed with swords. That's because you turned your back on me. You took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. The Lord also says, I am going to bring trouble on you. It will come from your own family. I will take your wives away. Your own eyes will see it. I will give your wives to a man who is close to you. He will have sex with them in the middle of the day. You committed your sins in secret, but I will make sure that the sin the man commits with your wives will take place in the middle of the day. Everyone in Israel will see it. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You aren't going to die, but you have dared to make fun of the Lord. So the son who has been born to you will die. Nathan went home. Then the Lord made the child that had been born to Uriah's wife by David very sick.
And that's 14. So we wanted to go through 13 and said, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. So let's look at David. Thank you, Dr. Nux, for reading that. Thank you. Let's look at David. Do you want to tell the story about what happens before that, about the relationship?
Yes,
what causes
David,
that?
Of course, doesn't go to battle as the king should have done, but instead he sends his soldiers off to fight battle. And so David is there in the castle walking the walls and I think being bored and idle, and he sees Bathsheba bathing, and he says, who is that woman? They say, is Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. And then he says, bring her to me. And so he has sex with her. He gets her pregnant. Then he goes and sends for Uriah and tries to get Uriah to sleep with his wife, but he won't because he's doing battle. He sleeps with his men. And so Uriah is sent to the battlefront to be killed, and he is killed. And then David then takes Bathsheba and marries her, and the baby that she has dies, and later on she also bears Solomon. But David doesn't realize what he has done, but Nathan then comes and gets him straight.
Okay. So with the story that we know of David in his latter life, what do you think is the difference between that David and the young David?
Well, this is James. There's a big difference.
David
in his youth was obedient to God and believed in God. He was sold out to the Lord. As David becomes king, David has everything at his fingertips. He has wives. He had many wives before he took Bathsheba. So he had everything he wanted, and so he didn't rely on God, and he wasn't obedient to God. And Nathan had to straighten him out and let him know that he had not done what God had wanted him to do. In his youth, he was obedient. In his older age, middle age, however old he was not as obedient because he thought he could do things himself. When you get to the point that you don't feel like you need God, you've gone too far. And that was David's case.
Yeah, this is Eric. To use a term from back in the day, he got the big head.
Amen.
He got the big head.
Anybody else? Brother Mark, what do you think?
No, I totally agree. I can't even think of better words. He got the big head. he got caught up in himself and didn't realize or failed to realize that which got him there and that which will carry him through is only God, not himself.
And it was the trust and faith in God. Okay, so why do you all, for what reason do you think that this story is in the Bible? Why do you think it's there? What's the purpose for us? How do we benefit from it?
This is Eric. For me, I've always thought that it was there to show me that you know, God will redeem, can and will redeem anyone if you allow him to. I mean, David absolutely repented of what he did and said that, I'm wrong and I've done wrong by God and I've sinned. And God, remember, called David a man after his own heart. And if David goes through all that, and God can still say that, God can and will redeem you at any cost, even because, I mean, we're talking adultery, murder, conspiracy. We're talking all kinds of things that David has done with Uriah and Bathsheba. So I think that's why it's in there for me, is that God can redeem anyone, even those who grow up understanding God and kind of turn away and then come back to their senses themselves. That's my perspective.
But David was a king, and Saul was a king. So why didn't Saul get that same kind of treatment? Why did the Spirit come on Saul? Why did God leave Saul? I mean, what's the difference?
David repented. David repented and realized what he had done. and he sought God's forgiveness, and Saul didn't. And I think that's a great lesson to be learned when we look at our lives and we look at the church today and our own lives today. God will forgive just about everything. I mean, and we are so condemning of each other and people. I mean, if we look at that today and we say, okay, Saul went and did something that the priest should have done, and David killed somebody and had adultery. Now, who's got the worst sin? We would say that David. But God doesn't look at things like that in degrees. God looked at the fact that David sought forgiveness and repented of what he had done. And that's a lesson for us whenever we've done anything. It doesn't matter how bad it is. If we seek forgiveness and repent, God, it says, your sin has been forgiven. And I think that's something to shout about and rejoice about.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter how bad you've been. And right. David was bad now. And David wound up paying for it.
Yeah.
He wound up paying for it. And he had to go through some stuff.
Yeah.
But still, he was forgiven, and he did not die, because he should have died for what he did.
Amen. And that's you're absolutely correct. And that's the key, is because Saul did repent. Saul had an excuse. Well, if you'd have came when you said you was, and you wasn't coming, I saw the men getting antsy and wanting to leave, so I went ahead and did the offering. Well, that wasn't your place to do that. And I still submit, a couple months ago we talked about this, and I still submit that if Adam and Eve had repented instead of excuses, they might not have been put out of the garden. I don't know for sure because I wasn't there, but God does. God does honor people who repent. And when they are really serious and humble themselves and repent from the sin that they have turned, God honors that.
Amen.
Amen. So I had asked the question as a part of the answer is, why is this in the story? And you said to show that people can be forgiven. I think that I hear somebody talk about the
lineage. Yeah, that was Eric. Yeah, Eric, I said that.
Well, another reason why the story is in the Bible is because the Messiah comes through the lineage of David. And David the king, and Christ is to sit on the throne of David. So David is instrumental in the history of Israel and in the history of Christendom and in the history of the world. His life, and what I think what is wonderful about it is Christ comes and Christ has ancestors that have all kind of problems in their lives. You know, we have Rahab the harlot. We have David. We have Tamar. We have all kind of problems in his lineage. And yet here, Christ, the Son of God, you know, so Christ comes with that lineage,
Amen.
But yet he comes as the Savior. And I'm so grateful for that, is that Christ didn't, all his folks weren't pure. All his folks weren't without sin. They were. But yet Christ comes to save us, and he came through all that mess. And there's a bunch of mess in David's life.
So we have all these awesome take-homes, and specifically the issue is this. When we fall short, and this is what I was picking on you about, Eric, for, is that it don't matter if you will sit and you have devotion for an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours. I mean, that's wonderful if you read the Word and let that save your life. But if you don't develop that relationship with God, you can read the Word all day. All the Pharisees did it. They had it written on their forehead. You know, all that. But so we have to use the Word. We have to let it seep into our hearts, as you do, Eric. But I'm saying that what's key is David, as a little boy, had something in him that God used. Here David is a grown man that forgets that trust is the fundamental thing that he used as a child. So when we learn the knowledge, when we gain the knowledge, whether we're young, whether we're old, we have to apply trust to God in every situation. That's what this is all about. I think God wanted us to learn that as long as we trust God, if we fall short and we've done everything else right, God, the enemy's going to find whatever your shortcoming is, and he's going to work that. Your shortcoming may not be alcohol. It may not be drugs. It might be women. It might be some other sin. But the enemy is going to find it and work on that. But no matter what, it seems as though I used to think that when people get older, that they get smarter, that they grow in grace, right? Well, David didn't show that example, but yet he was so strong when he was young. So what's that all about, y'all? Do we have, aren't we supposed to mature when we get older? We just got some, to me, I mean, I see some old fools running around here. When do we mature?
Well, you heard that I'm saying, ain't nothing like an old fool. I mean, there's a bunch of old fools out there. No doubt about
that.
Well,
look at David's son Solomon. I mean, you couldn't have a greater example of somebody that was foolish when they were old and wise when they were young, because he was the wisest man in the world when he was young. And he became a big fool when he got older.
So we can't assume that because we're aging that we're maturing and that we're getting wiser, because the bottom line is, how are we walking in that relationship? Are we walking in trust? Are we walking in faith? So do you all think that David knew that God was working in his life?
This is Eric. Yeah, I do. I mean, I do think that because he makes the statement when, you know, when he's talking to his brothers before going into battle, is that the Lord helped me to do that with the bear and the lion, and he'll help me as I'm dealing with this Philistine.
Amen.
So do you notice that, when he became king, it says he was idle. And when we're idle, our focus is not on God. See, many of us think we can just go on about our daily activities and not focus on God and we're going to be okay. Oh, no. Let's not get it twisted. Eric's got the right idea. He's doing the right thing. He's praying, getting the word in his life so that it says, I will keep you in perfect peace, those whose mind is stayed on me. And that's what David was not doing.
Amen.
His mind, he wasn't even out doing what he was supposed to be doing. His mind was on other things. And that's what happens when your mind is not on God. So, and that's what happened to Peter when he was walking to Jesus. What happened? He sunk because he took his focus off of God. And some of us, I think we take it for granted. We think, oh, I'll get to Bible study, or I'll get to church, or I'll get to that, but guess what? When you're thinking about getting there, something is happening along the way to draw you away. The enemy is using all that time to try to see things that are not of God in the way. And so we have to constantly be diligent to fight to keep in the word. I mean, for those of us who don't have a daily devotion, that's something we need to really seriously look at. And so tell me, I need some help here. After God achieves all these wonderful feats in David's life, and I would say in your life and in my life, why is it that we forget? Why is it that we have to stop for a second, because we have to stop and then go, those of us who are wiser and more mature, then we got to go back and figure out how we got over and use that. But it's something that happens to us that we fall short. What is that? Because I know that you can read, Eric, you can be trusted in the Lord, but boom, something can happen. And sometimes, depending on what it is, it can shake us and we fall short.
Yeah, well,
and the reason why I want to talk about that, Eric, is I want you to address the fact, because there's somebody out there this evening that's down and out, that trusted the Lord for something, and all of a sudden they got knocked down, that they don't have money to pay their bills, that somebody came up with a disease, that the children are on drugs, something happened, and they faithfully were trying to do everything they could, but something went wrong.
Well, this is Eric, and things are going to go wrong in our lives. I mean, and so here's my perspective. Read Job. That doesn't mean that they wasn't living right. Things happen. And God wants to show others that you have the resiliency and the faith to believe and trust in him. And he wants to show some of us that. And you just got to, you have got to believe and trust that whatever the circumstances are, whatever the diagnosis is, whatever the circumstance is, God has got it worked out. And I'm going to share this. And I know we get close, but I'm going to share this.
We're going to close right here, Eric. Eric, can I get somebody to read 2 Peter 1, starting at the third verse, because we're at 7:55. Can I get somebody to read 2 Peter 1, 3 through, starting at the third verse?
Yeah,
can you read that right quick?
God's power has given us everything we need to lead a godly life. All of that has come to us because we know the one who chose us. He chose us because of his own glory and goodness. He has also given us his very great and valuable promises. He did it so you could share in this, in his nature. He also did it so you could escape from the evil in the world. That evil is caused by sinful longing. So you should try very hard to add goodness to your faith. To goodness, add knowledge. To knowledge, add the ability to control yourselves. To the ability to control yourselves, add the strength to keep going. To the strength to keep going, add godliness. To godliness, add kindness to believers. And to kindness to believers, add love. You should possess more and more of those good points. They will make you useful and fruitful as you get to know our Lord Jesus Christ better. But what if some of you do not have those good points? Then you can't see very well. You are blind. You have forgotten that your past sins have been washed away. We need to remember that. That's my words. My brothers and sisters, be very sure that God has appointed you to be saved. Be sure that he has chosen you. If you do everything I have just said, you will never slip. You will never trip and fall. You will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom that lasts forever. It is the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things. I'll do it even though you know them. I'll do it even though you know how, that you now have deep roots in the truth. I think it is right for me to remind you. It is right as long as I live in this tent. I'm talking about my body. I know my tent will soon be removed, but our Lord Jesus Christ has made that clear to me. I hope that you will always be able to remember those things after I'm gone. I will try very hard to see that you do. So we have some kind of amnesia. We forget how good God is and how God has made a way for us and blessed us, and we need to read God's word, and we need to encourage one another and remind one another and help us to remember how good God is, and that God, and that we can make it, and that we can just need to keep on moving, and God is there with us through every circumstance.
Brother Eric, would you close us in prayer? And I'm going to close on this word that no matter what you're going through, you'll get through this. It won't be quick, and it won't be painless, but God will redeem your story. Would you close us in prayer, please?
Gracious Father, we, the humble servants, thank you for your word, and we thank you for this teaching this night, Father. We ask that you would touch the hearts of those that are listening, Father, those who are downtrodden, those who are in pain and in hurt, Father, and speak unto them in a still, small voice, Father, to let them know that you are still in charge. You've only asked us to believe and confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Jesus paid the price for our sins through his death and resurrection, that we would be separate, that we would not be separated from you for eternity. But here on earth, Father, we have pain and we have trials and we have tribulations, but you can still see us through it, Father. You know what we need because you've planned our way. Sometimes you just want us to acknowledge that, and if we would just remember what all you've already brought us through, that you can take us through anything else. And when all else, we have your word here to read, Father, so let us be mindful to do that. Let us get a glimpse into the stories of those you have already helped. Most of all, help us to remember that we already know that we already have a relationship, and that
Amen.
You will take care of us. What's in your son, Jesus?
Thanks
Christ
for listening to Your Place Love
Amen.
Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Remember the footprints. God carries us when we only see one set. Blessings.
Good night.